Independence Day. And my message today is, how can we be a blessing for God in America? How can we be a blessing for God in America? There's some things that I think that we as Christian people need to do. We need to voice our opinions, and especially when it comes November, we need to vote and let our voice be made known to this country that we believe what this country was founded on, the Judea Christian ethical principles of God's holy word. And we need to speak up and let it be known, because that independence is quickly trying to be snipped away from us. Quickly trying to be done away with when it comes to those values and those Christian standards and morals that this country was founded on. How can we be a blessing for God in America? We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to look at that this morning. A few things, 3 points we want to point out here about how can we be a blessing for God in America. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, Lord, I thank you for the excitement in the air today. I thank you for the freedom of worship. I thank you for the sweet spirit here, the Lord. I thank you, the Lord, that, Father, it is amazing to come into your house, gather in your name with brothers and sisters of Christ, the Lord, that are ready to praise you, ready to worship you, the Lord. And thank you for that freedom and that love that is felt here this morning. Lord, and that freedom we have to speak, the freedom we have to preach, the Lord. Thank you for us celebrating America's independence, the Lord. Thank you for those that died and given their life so that we can have this freedom we have today. Thank you for the founding fathers, the Lord, that founded this country, the Lord, and what it was founded upon. And Father, I pray that we can remember those things and go back to those roots and be thankful, the Lord, that we have a place to come and worship you at, that we have the freedom to sing songs about you today, that we have freedom to speak your word, the Lord, in this setting. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, so many times I think we take things for granted. Lord, let us never take for granted, Lord, those that have given their life for us, especially you, Jesus, giving your life for us so that we can have a freedom, the Lord, to worship you, to serve you, a freedom of knowing, the Lord, that we don't have to face eternity and spend eternity in a place called hell because you gave your life for us, the Lord, that if we accept that, we have freedom from that sin, freedom from that place of punishment, the Lord, and that we have it in you. Father, may you bless the reading of your word today. May you bind Satan up, cast him outside of here, keep the demons and stuff at bay, the Lord, and let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God take over. Have freedom to rule and reign in our hearts and in this place today. May your word go forward. May it cut where it needs to cut. May it pierce where it needs to pierce, Lord. Father, again, may we be revived, renewed, and refreshed, the Lord, after we leave here today. Lord, we're going to thank you for the reading of your word. We ask the blessing of it, the Lord, and may it accomplish your will and your way that you would have it to be done today in this place and in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Here's some of America's crazy things that I thought about putting down here. Only in America are they handicapped parking places in front of a skating rink. I don't understand that. I don't know why they pull up to a skating rink and park in a handicapped parking lot. Not like they can go in and skate. I don't understand. Only in America. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back end of the store and get their prescriptions, while healthy people can buy their cigarettes and alcohol up front. I don't understand it. They need to change it and get it, got it backwards here. Only in America. Only in America. Only in America do people order a double cheeseburger, large fries, and a Diet Coke. If you're gonna eat a double cheeseburger and a large fry, enjoy a Coke with it. The Diet Coke ain't gonna do you a bit of good. How many in here are guilty of that? Amen. If you're going to get a double cheeseburger and fries, you might as well all go all the way and get a big jug of Coke as well. Only in America. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put all our junk in the garage. Hello. Cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and the garage is full of junk. Hello. What's up with it? Only in America. Only in America do we use answer machines to screen the calls. And we have call waiting so we won't miss a call from someone we didn't want to talk to in the first place. Amen. Caller ID, any of you got that? Call waiting? Amen. Y'all in there? Yeah, only in America. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. I don't understand. Me and you need to invent hot dog buns in packages of 10s. Maybe we can be rich one day. I don't know. I don't understand. Only in America. Here's some of the sadness in America. It was written by George Carlin, and it was entitled The Paradox of Our Time. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. You know, we spend more but we have less. We buy more but we enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense. White House, amen. They need some common sense and some less degrees, amen. More knowledge but less judgment. More experts but yet more problems. More medicine but less wellness. We spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get up too tired, ready to do too little, to watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life but not life to years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but we have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We do larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted our soul. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever before, but we communicate less and less. Listen to me, church family. There are a lot of negative things about America, but I still believe that America is one of the best countries ever founded. Amen. Greatest country in the world. We are blessed to have been born and raised in America still today. We got a lot to be thankful for and a lot to be thankful about. 1 Timothy 2 and verses 1 through 6 say this. It said, I exalt therefore, first of all, supplications. When I'm going to come back to there, first of all, and I'm going to explain what Paul is meaning when the scripture says first of all. When he says first of all, or therefore, or but, or like it unto, Paul's got something that needs importance to say. So he's saying, I exhort thee therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all those that are in authority. Buddy, do we ever need to pray for them? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all the godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men, to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. When I thought about this, if you're taking notes this morning, how can we be a blessing for God in America? When I thought about this, number one is the thing that got kicked out of school years ago, the Bible and prayer. How can we be a blessing in America? I believe that if we want to be a blessing in America and we want to change the way that America is heading to, then we got to be people of prayer. We got to get on our prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes who we are as individuals. Prayer changes the dynamics of the church. It changes who you are. Prayer changes things. So if you're taking notes, number one, we must pray continuously. We must be people of prayer. If we're going to be a blessing for God in America and we want to see things turned around in America, you and I have to be people of prayer. Have to be people of prayer. Look back at verse 1 and 2 again. It says, I exhort therefore, that first of all, when he says that, Paul is saying, most important of all. Most important of all, first of all, means most important of all, that supplication and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all God and godliness and honesty. First of all, most important of all, we must be people of prayer, continuously praying and talking to the Lord. And I thought about the four things that were mentioned here. Prayer is to hold a preeminent place in church meetings. My friend, I don't know how you can start out a church service or start out anything without starting out in prayer to the Lord. I don't know how we can start out the day, folks, and start out our day without praying in the Lord. There are so many things that come up, so many things that you and I will face, so many obstacles that the devil knows exactly what to put in your place, knows exactly, my friends, what to put in front of you to stumble you up. I'm telling you, my friends, if we're going to see America change, if we're going to see the dynamics of the church change, if we're going to see the dynamics of you and me change, most important, most of all, we better be doing some business with God down on our knees. We need to be people of prayer, people that believe in prayer and offer up those supplications and prayer of thanksgiving and things of that nature. Paul prints out or speaks out of four of them here. He says supplications are precise requests for specific needs. Precise requests for specific needs is supplication. We need to be praying for America and be specific in praying for it and the leadership that is in the White House. Not only that, but one another. Pray for one another. Uplifting one another. Be specific in your prayers and supplications. Give them to the Lord. Be specific about that. Lord, I need help in this arena. Lord, help me. Lord, I got this issue in my life. I don't know what to do with it. Bring it to the altar and give it to the Lord. Lord, help me with this addiction. Lord, help me and my family. Help me to raise my children. Help me with my spouse, my mate, whatever it is. Be specific in your prayers and offering up those supplications to the Lord. And that's what he wants us to do. If we're going to see America change and we're going to bring glory to God and bless God in America, then we got to be specific in our prayers and what we're praying for in America, especially in this election this year. We better be specific in praying for what we need in America. Offer up those supplications. Be specific in them. And then it says prayer. Prayer is a general word embracing various kinds of prayers, whether it's confession, whether it's adoration, so forth and so on. Those prayers in general that you offer up to the Lord. Prayers of supplication, being specific to Him on what we need. And then prayers in general, whether it's confessions or what it is in our life. Then he goes on to say, in intercessions. Intercessions denotes the prayer to God on the behalf of others. I love intercessory prayer. I love praying for others. I love to see people come forward and stand in the gap and have faith enough to believe that we can anoint them in oil. And through intercessory prayer and the faith of those that's gathered around laying on hands, through that faith that it could touch somebody 1,000 miles away and bring about a healing of their body from a disease and sickness. It's about prayer. It's about having faith in that prayer and believing in that. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer for some of us. I know that mama and daddy, they had a lot of intercessory prayer going on for me, that God would intervene. And if you were anything like me, your mama and daddy, if they were Christian men and women, they prayed for you too. And it's what kept you from being killed. It's what kept you from being in jail. It's what kept you out of trouble. It's because of intercessory prayer on your behalf that grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle and mom and dad done for you and done for me. Thank the Lord for intercessory prayer. We need to do more of that. Praying on behalf of others. Praying on behalf of others. Praying for them. On the behalf of others in intercessory prayer. And then he said, and giving thanks be made for all men. Giving thanks refers to prayer of praise. Thanking God and praising Him for others. Thank the Lord for you guys. I say all the time, I couldn't do what I do here without you as a family of God supporting me, helping me teach Sunday school, assist Sunday school, take care of the babies and the nursery and Awanas and the youth and Wednesday night services and all the activities we have going on here. There is no way that I could do it without you. And I thank the Lord for you every day. thank the Lord for you and offer up those prayers of praise and thanksgiving for you, because there's no way the church would be where it is today without you being a part of it. Thank the Lord for an amazing church family. Praise the Lord for one another. Praise the Lord when you pray that God has given us an amazing place to worship at. He's given us an amazing family. He's given us that to us. Thank the Lord for those arenas. If we're going to be a blessing for God in America, we must pray continuously and seek the Lord. Samuel Chadwick said this: the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from a prayerless studies. He fears nothing from prayerless work. He fears nothing from prayerless religion. He laughs at our toils, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when Christian people pray. But he trembles when we pray. We've got to be people that are prayed up and studied up. Andrew Murray said this: the man who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to evangelizing the world. It starts with prayer. If we want to see things change, if we want to see this world evangelized, then we have got to get on our knees before the Lord. We have got to seek Him. We've got to be people of prayer if we want to see things change. Charles Spurgeon said this: I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. One man, a godly man, of a woman that prays, you can't beat it. You can't beat the wisdom of a godly man and woman, a saint of God that would join and unite in prayer. It definitely gets the devil shaking in his shoes when you get some praying and you get brothers and sisters praying in Christ, men and women of God that are praying. And some of the best prayer warriors I've ever known have been ladies. They know how to make the devil tremble. They know how to get him on the run, especially get a black lady on your side. She'll do business with Jesus for you. She'll get them all on the run, man. The handkerchief will come out, and she'll be, I'm telling you, lasso the devil up by herself and tie him up and cast him outside the door for you. Amen. Y'all know a few of them. I want you to invite them to come to church. Amen. Bring them in here. Oh, the power of prayer of a godly man or woman, it availeth much, it conquers much. We must be people of prayer. If we're going to see any good come to America and into our lives, we must pray. We must pray for our family. We must pray for our spouses. We must pray for our children. We must pray where we work, pray where we go to school at. We must pray in the community where we shop at. We got to be people of prayer. People are praying and putting God first in our lives, my friends, and we will see things begin to happen in America. In James 5:16, it says this. It says, confess your faults one to another. And what? Pray one for another that you may be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. Prayer of a righteous man or a woman is powerful, but not only is it powerful, it's effective. It's effective when we do business with the Lord. It's powerful. It's effective. How powerful is prayer? How effective is prayer? If we pray long enough, if we pray hard enough, if we pray fervent enough, and if we pray faithful enough, God will change some things for the better. If we pray long enough, hard enough, and effective enough, God will change America. God will change you. He will change me if we do business in prayer. It changes things. God will change things for the better. Never doubt the power of God and the power of prayer. We must pray unceasingly. I got an email this week from Kristen Price and brother through the way of Brother Don. It was praying specifically for a pastor, praying for me, and asking God to help me realize what our pastor needs, help me realize what the pastor's wife needs, help me in that arena to be able to pray for them, help me to be able to support them, help me be able to encourage them. And I read that thing, and tears come to my eyes, Kristen, and tears come to my wife's eyes, because it's so true. I've been there before where I had a pastor sitting under a pastor's leadership, and I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have said more. I wish I'd have let them know that I'm praying for them. I wish that I'd have spent time with them and said, listen, just pick up the phone call and say, I want to let you know I'm praying for you today. Oh, what a blessing. Thank you, Brother Don, for forwarding it to 60-some people. But it's true. The one thing that we all need more than anything else is prayer. It's prayer for one another, praying for one another, exhorting one another, building one another up, encouraging one another, have faith believing in a righteous man and a righteous woman that their prayer of faith availeth much. And we've seen the power of God's prayer in this church over and over again, the amazing power of what prayer can do. Oh, if you're taking notes, number two. How can we be a blessing to God in America? Not only through prayer and praying unceasingly, but we must live a righteous life. Living righteously. I know last week I preached on Job and Job 1 and 1. In that first chapter, it said Job was an upright man. Job was a perfect man, a blameless man. And Job went through some things in his life, but he never turned his back on the Lord. He never cussed God. He never turned his back on the Lord. He stayed in faith in him, trusting in him, believing in him. And because Job remained faithful, God blessed him on the latter end more so than he ever did on the beginning end. We've got to be people that live righteously. In verse 2, it said, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. God wants us to be godly people, holy people. We can be pretty good people at church most of the time. Y'all get that later. We can be pretty good people here. But I think the Lord is concerned about how we act out there. How we act out there. You know, he wants to make sure. We can be good people most of the time in church settings and when we're here. But God is very much interested in how we act and how we react when we're outside of the church. That speaks volumes. In 1 Peter 2:12. It said, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They might speak evil about you, but they can't but see the good that you're doing. And in that day of visitation, it will glorify God. When you keep on keeping on, you're going to be under attack. People might say things about you. Anytime you're trying to live a life for the Lord, anytime you're trying to do business for Him, anything that you do profitable in the ministry, you're going to be attacked for. Satan's going to come against you. An onslaught of attacks are coming, but don't give in. Don't stop. Be faithful. Be faithful. God will take care of it. He'll take care of those individuals that are attacking you and making your life miserable. Pray, like I said, supplication. Pray for them, amen? Pray for them. Be specific in that prayer. Then God will take care of it. He will work it out for you and me. He'll take care of it. If we want to change America for the better and all the people for the better, we must live holy lives, righteous lives, but not presenting ourselves holier than now. I tell everybody I'm no better than anybody else. I put my pants on the same way everybody else does, one leg at a time. I thank God that He saved me by His mercy and grace. And if it wasn't for His mercy and grace, I'd be hell bound. Amen. And I'm pretty sure all of you would be there with me if it wasn't for His mercy and grace. You agree with that? Thank the Lord for His mercy and grace. And guess what? When we trip and when we stumble and we fall, thank the Lord that God is there to lift us up. Thank the Lord that He's there. Thank the Lord for 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank the Lord, there's a way out. Thank the Lord that God extends His mercy and grace to us when we stumble and fall. And sometimes what drives me insane is that a brother and sister stumbles and falls, and then there's another Christian come over there wanting to stomp on them. Stomp on them. Is that what the Lord wants us to do, is stomp on them? Huh? Come here. Come here. Here we go. We got a Christian. And all of a sudden, stomp on the fall. All of a sudden, he stumbles. Stumble and fall. There we go. These youth, you got to work with them. For I didn't tell you to get up. Stumble and fall. Lay down. I know why your mom and daddy has such a hard time now. You got some Kleenex or Q-tips, Papa? Nana, y'all got something they want me to drive it home. Open up your ears. I'm trying to get you to help me out here. Lay down. Listen to me. Follow directions, and you will get a whole lot less spankings at home. But here we are as Christian people, and we stumble, and we fall. And sometimes the other Christian people will come over and start stomping on us, beating us up, sit on us, smack us around a little bit. Brother Jim said, I could hit you all I wanted to. Smack around a little bit. And then say, I told you you wasn't a Christian you said you was going to be. Ha, ha, ha. You stumbled up and fall. How true and how sad that is. How true and how sad that is. Instead of beating them up when they fall, lend a hand and say, brother, I'm sorry about that. I want to pray for you. I love you, man. What can I pray for you about? I want to encourage you. I want to beat him. I done beat him up. He's scared to death now. I done told him to listen to everything I said. But we need to lift him a hand. Lift him up. Build him up and encourage him. We all trip and fall. Anybody in here ain't never tripped and fall? Good. I ain't got to preach online this morning. You see, the pastor couldn't even raise his hand, right? You sit down now. He'd listen good now. We stumble. We trip. We fall. Thank the Lord for God's mercy and grace. Can we as Christians and brothers extend the same mercy and grace? Amen. That's what he wants us to do. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Try to live a godly life. Try to encourage one another. You can be, my grandpa used to say, and he was a pastor for over 60 years, and I think Brother Leroy said it before. You can be so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. So heavenly minded, you know earthly good. Holier than now. You know, ain't nobody holier than now. There's one holy and he's in heaven. Amen. And his name is Jesus. So you and I don't need to act like we're holier than now. And when somebody trips and stumbles, you're the first one there to stomp on them and point your finger at them. Yeah. That don't sit too well. Does that sit well with you? No, it don't sit too well. And you blast them. Man, reach up. Encourage them. Lift them up. Pray for them. And live. Try. I said try to live a godly life. Paul uses the word strive towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. I mean strive. Make an effort to get there. And it takes an effort. It takes discipline on your part and mine. Man, there's several times. I'm a banty rooster. The Lord caged him up years ago. Caged him up in the cage. Whoo, since I've been here. Boy, sometimes my feet get to scratching and my beaks get to pecking at that lock, man. I want to break out of there sometimes. You ever been there? Like a bandit rooster? Man, somebody just flogging you, man. They like a big old rooster. I tell them they just don't even know. They might be big, but a small bandit rooster will whip a big old rooster any day of the week. Boy, I'm telling you, they can get you right at the gate. Woo, your feet get to scratching, your beak start pecking right on that handle, and then the Lord says, okay, you got to come down. I said, Lord, just let me loose one more time, and I'll repent when I get back in. Amen. You ever been there, Lord? Just turn me loose one time on them. I'll repent, Jesus, when I get back in the cage and lock it up. I'll help out. Oh, listen, we must live a life pleasing to the Lord. Don't be so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. That thank God for his mercy and grace. If it wasn't for that and we got what we deserved, we'd all be hellbound. That thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. Try to live a righteous life. Number three, in closing, we must evangelize fervently and share God's love for them. Share God's love for the people that are outside the church of God. Share God's love for those that are outside the church arena. It said in these last few verses, in verses 3 through 6, it said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all, what does it say? Some. Did it say some? It says all. He said, for all to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is what? One God. And there is one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for one? For all, to be testified in due time. God wants all his people to be saved. He said in his scripture that he would that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Evangelism is presenting the kind of witness for Christ that when you present it, regardless of what you do on a puppet show, regardless of what the children's a musical you're involved in, regardless of what it's a skit or whatever it is, doing that and presenting that in hoping that the Lord will hear and answer prayers, in hoping that God will allow you to lead that individual to the Lord and things of that nature, believing in him, trusting him, and they will believe and trust and obey in him. Listen, brothers and sisters, evangelism or leading people to Christ is a job for every Christian. It's a job for all of us and for every Christian that he sets out to do. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says this. It said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready. Ask the Lord to help you make you ready to be a witness and to know how to answer people when questions are asked about the Lord. I believe if we put these three principles in perspective in our life, I believe if we want to be a blessing for God in America, we must be people who pray continuously. We must live a life righteously before him, and we must evangelize fervently and share God's love with people in this world. And I believe if we do that, we will see God begin to bless and change the way America is heading. I believe if we do those things, Christ will have a huge impact if we do those things on others, which could lead to a revival in this city, this county, this state, this country, and worldwide if we would just do business with the Lord. If we will be people of prayer and continuously praying for that, if we try in our lives to live a holy life and then we evangelize the world, I believe if we do those things, Jamison, you guys can come back up, praise team. I believe if we do those things, my friends, we will have a huge impact on this society and on this world.